Hello and welcome to Elite Cadre, the Hordes and War Machine podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm Mike.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kurt.
And I'm Nick.
On this episode, we'll be looking back at the Welsh Open and taking an in-depth look at Intercessor Krios. But first up, some news. It's our first episode as part of the Muson Minis network, conglomerate, mega corporation.
Do we agree this, do we? Alright, moving on.
Well, we vaguely agreed it.
Alright.
We need our own version of using and amusing now.
No, we don't. We really, really don't. We are the War Machine Hordes podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. That's our tagline. I thought you'd be proud of that, having come up with it.
Well,
yeah. So, I just thought it might be a good thing that, you know, even though we have some alleged long-time listeners or sufferers, depending on how you take it.
I don't definitely let those particular individuals listen to it by choice.
Well, at least one of them is using the podcast to stalk you, Kurt, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he needs it. I'm sure he was outside Sainsbury's earlier.
Anyway, I thought we might do well to sort of quickly reintroduce ourselves.
That sounds like a horrific idea.
Well, most of our ideas are horrific. Why would this be any different?
Well, this sounds a bit like reintroduce, reinvent. I mean,
well, okay.
Why reinvent the wheel?
I was going to say,
we'll
have the same wheel. We'll just talk about it slightly differently for a while, okay?
I think that the people should just go listen to our anniversary episode. That gives them a great idea of who we are.
No one
needs... Forgot that one existed, didn't you?
No, I try very hard each day to forget the anniversary episode.
I enjoyed recording it. It was great.
It was a good laugh, but if you're going to listen to one episode first, don't let it be that one ever. Anyway,
yeah,
indeed.
Episode 25. Yeah.
We have the usual Alex sounding like a Dalek period of the show.
Different words, Dalek.
Don't need to worry about him because no one can understand what he says.
Yes. Anyway.
One that sounds like he's got something in his mouth, that's Kev Bryant.
How long did we last of the Muson Minis era before referencing that one? Oh boy, it's going to be a long night.
Is that a Kev Bryant reference as well, is it?
Moving on. Yes. Anyway, I'll start with myself and just do a quick introduction. I'm Mike. I play Kador, Mercs, and Circle. Although Circle, not really that much yet. I am the long-suffering host of this show and the press ganger for the Dudley Dark Lords.
Sorry, just before we go any further, I'm going to have to interrupt you.
Are we getting all the in-jokes out of the way?
I was going to say, you say you play these factions, but really you turn up at tournaments and then not play them, don't you? That seems to be your new fad.
Well, increasingly it is. I turn up at tournaments and stand behind desks and occasionally shuffle pieces of paper.
You two look very important, it is true.
Oh, yes. I mean, yeah, that's half the job.
Mm.
Standing around chatting with other judges for half the time as well. So that's
where I'm going wrong. I always thought it was 90% of the job, standing there looking like I know what I'm doing.
I'm sorry, can you wait with your world's crew? We're having a bit of chat. Do you mind? People are so rude.
It's less of a podcast and more of a social event, really.
Podcast?
Oh, you weren't aware these were recorded?
I'm a bit worried now.
Fair enough. Well, should we move on to you, Kurt, and you can sort of perhaps talk a sort of a quick bit about yourself?
I thought, was that Alex's whole bit there, was it?
Oh, Alex doesn't get a bit.
Oh, good.
He just interrupts the rest of us.
Hi, my name's Kurt. I currently play Menoth, but historically I've played a lot more trolls than anything else. I'm in my hand right now is a new Hunter's Grimm, which is suddenly making me go, oh, trolls, which happens quite a lot. Oh, trolls, whatever I'm playing. Yeah, I like painting as well.
I'm sure you got something wrong in that though, Kurt.
What?
You are a troll, not that you play trolls.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that either. I'm not even going to troll you about that. I talk a lot of nonsense, I think is what Nick's trying to say, but he's wrong, as he usually is. Nick.
So is that my lead-in?
Yeah,
hi, I'm good. Nick.
That's all the lead-in you deserve.
Once upon a time, this show was called The Correct Nick Topham Show.
And it still occasionally is.
What, last week?
We didn't record last week. You know this.
Yeah, no, I thought implying that we're a weekly show is funny.
To imply we have any sort of schedule at this point is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably fine. People can wait for our episodes. Honest.
So I'm a resident Sigmar player, so they all moan at me because they don't like it. I don't know. What else is there to say?
Hashtag doing a Topham.
Once upon a time, I was good.
Were you?
Probably.
It was a dream.
I think there was one tournament you did relatively well, wasn't there?
Yeah, first Masters I went to.
Yeah, went 4-0 on the first day and then crashed and burned.
Yep.
That was a bit harsh. from the man who disappeared from that tournament for a while. What was it?
What happened there?
A door-related incident.
Was that the door-related incident or was that the key-related incident?
That was the door-related incident.
The key was the year before because he had a blog post about it.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Well, I'll tell a little bit about myself. My name's Alex and I don't finish tournaments.
Ever.
No, I do finish most tournaments.
Only the ones I've played, run.
Yeah, only the ones I run. And incidentally, they're the only ones I win as well.
So still got plans on winning the pre-masters mashup this year?
I don't know if I'm winning it this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I play Circle. I used to play Kador. I'm known on Twitter, and I've got a blog as well, Kador Red.
Was anyone else aware he got a blog?
Only because he hit the door in Los Carquis. That's the only reason I knew.
I don't post so much on the blog anymore.
You notice I didn't mention my blog.
That's a long forgotten heirloom. I like painting when I can actually be asked to do it.
How is that stalker looking, Alex?
It's looking pretty awesome. Actually, it was out this weekend and still half painted.
I was a low blow and my line.
See, at least I got the Spriggan finished first. The Spriggan and the Stalker being two of the show's longest running, I would say, jokes, but I think they've gone way, way past that at this point, after almost 2 years.
Jesus, how long has it been?
2 years in September. It's scary, isn't it? Well, I think with that little bit.
We've been running for 2 years in September.
Yes, 2 years in September. Our legs are very tired. Okay, it was a poor joke. I just thought, get it to make this show trundle forwards into the next aimless segment.
I think it should be explained now that we're slightly down on energy because there was a couple of tournaments over the weekend that we went to. So
well, yes,
I sound a bit lackluster.
I was going to move on to that. However, that was part of our actual segment. But coming after the news, you should know how the show works by now, Alex.
Yeah, well, no, I just want to say I feel like we are a bit down in the doldrums. And if anyone is catching this for the very first time, they may be thinking he's...
Who are these miseries?
Yeah. These grumpy miseries war gamers. No, wait, that's...
We're not grumpy warmers. Warmers?
Freud was wrong on so many accounts, obviously. Yeah.
We're not grumpy war gamers. We are a force for positivity in War Machine while we're awake.
We're the podcast. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, that's...
Podcast of positivity. No, wait, we're stealing into the podcast. Oh, my God.
But that's all we do.
Mike, get that out.
£2 in the bucket.
We're part of the Muse network now. Surely we should be able to make as many Muse references as we like.
There is a line, okay? We're still being fined for...
So that's why Nick pushing so hard.
No, Nick just wants to appear on Muse on Minis. So
he wants to be in Muse on Minis, and I don't mean...
Whoa! That's...
No.
Just, while people sit and savour that, should we move on to the news?
I'm still savouring it. I liked it.
Okay. I'll give you at least 5 seconds, Hanson. Here we go.
Mm-bop.
There we go. You've had your 5 seconds.
Suddenly Martin Jenkins was on the podcast for a second.
Again, mentioning podcasts that died years ago.
I was mentioning a person, not a podcast. But yeah, moving on.
Yes, moving on. We've seen the Cirrus Heavy Jacket.
Yay, Convergence.
Don't everyone shout all at once.
Yay, Convergence.
Yay, Convergence.
Yay, Clockwork wind up to paint gold and find somebody to look like Hellboy.
Actually, that's a very good point. They do look very much like the Hellboy tooth.
They do. Or the Golden Army. It is the Golden Army.
Yeah. You're giving me ideas now. No.
I can't believe I'm giving him an idea. It's really whatever he's thinking out of the box. But yeah, lovely.
It didn't initially hit me, to be honest. But yeah, now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it. So I've seen the monitor, the inverter, and the cipher.
We've seen the three ones that have legs, because then there's three that don't have legs. Three hoverbots.
They're not any good. They haven't got legs.
Hoverbots.
Yeah, that you just deploy them and they stay there the entire game, Kurt.
Right.
They're hoverbots.
Yeah. They're not any good.
They won't hover after I'm through with them.
Well, they will for a short time.
Yes, not quite. So we've got one that fires spinning saw blades of doom.
Doom!
Yes. One with some sort of strange lance and a flail, and one with some spiky piston arms.
Yes.
If I'm honest, I haven't been a big fan of how the Jacks have been themed for Cirrus. But, I think that they're going along with the theme of the weird clockworkiness. What does everyone else think?
I like the idea. I can't really decide over another faction. I like the idea of the faction. I don't know. At the moment, I'm just not in a position where I want to take on another faction and start building something from scratch. When I change factions at the moment, you sit and go, I've got how much I haven't got now? It's only been like 6 months. So, yeah, I'm put off by that, but I'm not put off by the models or the concept. I love the concept. I like the whole clockwork concept and the casters that change the army dramatically and change the stat bars of their jacks. And I like that whole line of thinking a lot. So,
yeah, I think that is the most interesting concept about them, the whole thing with the field marshal and the mat and rat differences.
I could see it being like a minion thing, like I did pigs and bought enough pigs to play in tournament and that was it. All right, it's expanded a bit since then, but not much. It probably will, but this could come in a similar way that you kind of go, well, I'd have to buy that much stuff.
I think the benefit with this is you kind of know what you're going to be getting because it's going to be a kind of a one-shot release. So
well, it's not quite you're going to be getting.
Well, I know it's not definitely for forever and ever going to be a one-shot release, but
it's not going to be kept up with the regular release schedule.
Yeah. No. So you kind of know what you're going to get, so you can kind of do that a little bit easier. But again, I mean,
I think Sirius is going to be treated in much the same way that perhaps Retribution and Mercs are, where PP could quite happily just cut back on the releases for a book or just have none for that faction and say, well, they're not one of our main four. So that's the way it goes.
I'm the only person who cares, no one actually cares about them. So that's if Mercs didn't get a release. Kev, the mouth, Bryant.
The mouth of the South or just the mouth?
Just the mouth of something in it.
Yay, Sirius.
Oh, finally. The sleeper awakens.
No, you've just been talking with no gap to jump in, so I was just like, okay, just leave you to go. Just go. It's fine.
Oh, okay. What are your thoughts, Nick?
I think Nick's new to the podcast, so he struggles with the dynamic. He hasn't really got it down yet. Maybe in October he'll be like, oh, I see.
Sorry, you mentioned that, Nick, Mike, sorry, you said, what are your thoughts, Nick? That would suggest that Nick had thoughts.
Yay, Sirius.
To be fair, I can't be too mean to Nick this week because he did give me a box of Greylord Outriders. So I'm contractually obliged to be vaguely nice to him for at least a week. Okay. Only vaguely nice.
I'd like it if someone gave me something.
What, like a pure blood, like a
Extreme War Wolf?
Extreme
nice.
War Wolf. Have you not got one?
No.
This is the second one that I've won in a raffle.
You got rid of the first one, didn't you?
I did.
Did you give it to your brother-in-law or something?
I did, yeah. He's just still sat in a box somewhere, I think.
Being as we've diverged...
Have we?
Apparently
I'm not entirely sure anymore, to be honest.
We had seen a couple of the heavies anyway. We saw one of them in the initial release, so we knew what that was. The changes on them aren't huge. It's weapon changes and a bit of a head change. They're pretty cool. I'm looking forward to having them.
They're
not going to be that disgusting silvery thing that the PP paint scheme is, because that's just horrible.
Well, to be fair, the PP paint schemes are there as, firstly, a suggestion, and secondly, to try and give every faction sort of a visual identity when you actually look at their site.
On a more serious note, though, Nick, I reckon if you actually had one of those metal models in your hand, the actual studio model, should I say, in your hand, I think you'd say differently. I think a lot of the problems with PP and a lot of other manufacturers is photography of miniatures is very difficult. But I think they could look nice in silver, personally.
I find myself sort of half hating myself. I do kind of agree with Alex.
Yeah, he's probably right there. I just find people look at them and go, oh, it's a machine faction. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to prime it with some Army Painter metal spray or Palford's metal spray, and then I'm going to dip
it in bronze seals.
Yeah, exactly. Done. And it's like the fact that their studio scheme looks like they've kind of done that.
No, I can see where you're coming from. I think
this is a faction that screams Chris Cawthorn, whole army non-metallic metal.
One of the guys down at Titan was looking at them and going, I wonder if I could non-metallic. Oh, I will kill myself first.
For those non-long-time listeners, that is Titan Games, which is the local the local store to both myself and Nick. So.
But we all live in the same street, don't we?
Oh yeah, that's one thing new people won't know. We're all from different parts of the UK. Yay! That's why them two talk funny like.
Yes, quite. Should we just leave him?
Me?
Just abandon him by the roadside and move on to our next news item?
You had
again.
That at the weekend.
Yeah. It'll catch up.
Were you driving me?
I could have left you somewhere at the weekend. Unfortunately, you kept following me. Next news item. Lilith, Reckoning of Everblight.
Good to Queen.
Yay, more Legion.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
It just makes, let's address the other line.
I'm just wondering how many of those will have a box of a green stuff box of Turkish Delight somewhere hidden on the model.
I think that the Butcher of Christmas needs a new sleigh, Mike.
It's too spiky.
I'm wondering how the turret's going to get balanced on some of Tiger Tom's little pillars that he does a lot of his bases, and a lot of the
giant causeway style basing.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the chariot's going to get done on that.
Well, I wouldn't know. Tom Fretwell is at the moment playing mercenaries.
He is, but I'm sure he'll come back to his legion
with his big yellow galleon.
I saw it right up close,
and coming increasingly closer every turn.
He has got lovely hair though.
He has lovely hair, yes.
Galleon or Tom?
Hair. Sorry,
Galleon or Tom?
I was talking about Tom. The galleon was a bit thin on top.
Yeah. Three Lilith or Thrillith or Lilith 3 or...
Lots of swearing, I think, will be following another thing here.
Well, yeah. I don't want to comment too much on the quality of the cast, because Nick and I have already had many, many disagreements about that one.
I'm ignoring you.
Yeah, it's very spiky, it's very legion-y. She's got a weird, long, thin cloak if you look on the 3D one, but, you know, it looks... Very action pose from the side.
Not a cloak, it's a tassel.
It's not a cloak, it's a what?
Tassel.
Should we move on from that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Does that mean the Lilith 4 is going to be a nightclub?
Lilith 4 is going to be what, sorry?
In a nightclub. With more tassels.
Joining Hayley.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Hayley did that already.
Yeah. One thing I would say is it does look as though if the spikes at the side of the sleigh unfolded, it would start and take flight. They are quite wing-like.
We've got a bit Madagascar now. No, let's play Legion. It's Legion.
I'd also like to know why Legion get two individual reindeer to pull their sleigh, whereas Kador get two of the same horse for the gun carriage.
Caster. It's the caster.
And?
Warlock. Well, trolls are the same. I haven't got two separate Tuffalos pulling my war wagon.
Well, then you, Kurt, should be demanding the same...
I don't complain. I'm perfectly happy with that.
Hang on, you're never perfectly happy.
I quite like the war wagon. War wagon is gold.
Always believing.
No!
I don't fancy paying and buying a second one. Tempting at times it is.
See, whereas with Three Lad, I'm tempted to pick up that third gun carriage, just in case, you know.
You got two already?
Yeah. I've never actually fielded two, but with Three Lad, I feel the need to put three on the table, just to see how much I can confuse other people. Three of those, two Drakens, lovely. Yeah.
You railed yourself there, didn't you?
Pardon?
You railed yourself there.
Oh, I do that quite frequently. It's fine. So, yes, Thrillith, Thrillith, nice model, but none of us play Legion.
I've thought about it. Does that count?
How long did you think about it for?
I own some. Does that count?
You have what?
I own some. Does that count?
I don't know. I mean, I own some Menoth, but that doesn't really count for me.
I own some of them, too.
I don't.
Actually, even worse, I own a Signar battle box.
I own that as well.
I own that as well, yeah.
I don't. Yay.
Do you not own the components of the Signar battle box?
I don't have an ironclad.
How can you be a Signar player and not own an ironclad?
Have rowdy.
Yeah, but...
I sold all my Signar and I rebought it back after Stormwall existed.
Even I, the man who basically never fields Juggernauts, has about four of the things. They're quite amusing occasionally to field with Butcher in threes, but, you know, I can't believe you don't have an ironclad. We'll have to remedy that. Anyway.
Your ironclads too. Nick Topham at hashtag doing a
Topham.
Can we stop with the hashtag doing a Topham, please?
No. Hang on. Someone has publicly asked some mockery of them to cease. This will go so well on the internet.
So somebody's asked for something to, what to cease?
They've asked for some mockery of them on the internet to cease. No? Okay.
Were you talking about Nick or someone else?
I was talking about Nick and his own private hashtag.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, it's bound to happen, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Please don't take the mick out of Nick and his doing a Topham. Hashtag doing a Topham.
Should we move on to our final item of news, which is the Tactical Arcanist Corps.
More dwarfs.
Yes. They're quite interesting because they look like squashed assault commandos a bit, really.
Commission painting.
I'm not sure Kurt is pleased with the idea of painting dwarves.
No.
I'm going to commission a dwarf. What if Menoth get a dwarf warcaster?
They won't.
See, there's other people there going, oh, let's play the hammer dwarves with the attendant priest. Kurt's there going, no dwarves for me.
It's not that I'm prejudiced, they're just too short. If you've ever met, if you've ever met me, you'd understand.
But Kurt, all models are really short.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
But they're only about 32 mil high.
I don't get the reference.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, these are quite nice models. They're decently characterful for a 3-man unit.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm not sure quite how much the sculpt looks improved by the some of the very nice lighting effects that are taking place on the studio scheme for them.
I can't say look that closely. I was like, oh yeah, dwarves.
You're so mean, Kurt.
Oh yeah, dwarves. I like the fact that this is like 3-man utility that's mercenary that can work almost anywhere. And yeah, but dwarves.
I just don't know what to say, Kurt. You're dead to me.
There's nothing to say, dwarf.
They are indeed dwarves.
Maybe I should take up Rhett just so I can really hammer home the whole dwarves.
We hate dwarves and we don't care.
Doo-dah.
the Rhett just hate everybody.
Yeah, but the whole kind of, you know, classical fantasy elves hating dwarves.
To be fair, the Rhett hate everybody, except for the fact that they seem to allow Madeline Corbeau into the faction. Never quite figured that one out.
And, what's his face? What's his face? Bodyguard.
Holt.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah, but he's with Iana, so... They're like, Well, yep. You count as a plus one, so... I couldn't believe Corbo would actually play for Retribution when someone said that at the weekend. I was like, really? No, I'm going to check that up. Huh, so she does. Why? Very weird.
Yeah. But I think the Retribution's hatred for dwarves comes from when the dwarves mounted in the rules being attacked by one of the dragons, and the Retribution turned up didn't help or something, I think, maybe?
That's a Tolkien reference he was babbling about. Sorry, I've been slow, aren't I?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I thought one was ripping off the other, and then halfway through the sentence went, yeah, shut up.
There's that brief moment of, is he actually trolling? I can't quite decide.
Well, I couldn't tell if he meant that PP had ripped off Tolkien, or, and I was like, oh, hang on, actually, I've been trolled.
Actually, I've been trolled.
Yeah, that happens fairly frequently on this show. Okay.
Yes, Alex, I believe that was the Hammerfall were not interested or always weren't interested or basically they didn't care.
Pretty much.
I think what we should do now...
Much
like yourself at the moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Quite finished talking over my segue?
Not even halfway.
Okay, can I go ahead with it now, or...?
You could try.
Okay. So, with the news done...
So, Kurt, on a scale of 1 to 10, how not popular are you?
I don't know. You could scarcely quantify the size of the I do not give.
So...
Are you 7 hats out of 12 not concerned?
With the news done...
The hat's not even here.
Let's move on to our topic of discussion. I thought what we'd do is have a brief talk about the Welsh.
Why don't we have it? Why don't we do an episode called What We Did on Our Holidays?
Actually, that pretty much does count. We've been away for a while. It's like going back to school. What did you do on our holidays?
There's no podcast would ever do that. We're not ripping anyone off doing that.
No. And let's not talk about what Alex did on his weekend. It's fine.
It's the involved person that I'm talking about.
Should involve animal masks.
Moving on.
Bloody hell. Nothing I want to go on your weekends out, Nick.
Moving rapidly on.
I went big game hunting at one point. It was fascinating. I didn't get it at all.
What, Botswana?
Yeah.
Oh, you played Botswana.
I played Botswana.
Botswana's the boss.
I didn't get it for ages. I'm there going, I know, it's Sans game. I don't get it.
Zebras are the new bro.
Where are the gorillas?
Zebras are OP.
I feel we are somewhat meandering down a track at this point.
Who did you play Botswana with?
Conrad, Matt Hart, Nick, Tanalon boys, really.
Yeah. Botswana is greatly enhanced by the people you're playing it with, I believe.
We also played Cash and Guns. That was hilarious. A game based around bank robbers trying to divvy the loot up, losing rags to each other, or pulling guns on each other every round.
I like the way I had the biggest topic of conversation of one of the biggest War Machine tournaments of the year so far is what board games we played in the evening.
It was great.
It's nice.
Well, we played Dixit and Dominion, so...
Yeah, Dixit looked interesting. Dixit.
It's a great little game.
The next morning, when you came in to tell me about the game afterwards, that actually had more appeal than it did when you were trying to put, when you opened it and were like, look at this, you do this, and then you do it, and you vote. I'm like, I'm leaving. and you tried again, I was like, no, I'm already gone. But when you were talking about the following morning and showing me cards and going, I said this, and I'm like, oh, was quite clever.
Yeah.
I got drunk. Yeah.
we just had people not getting references to Led Zeppelin, which is quite frankly.
Except me, yeah.
It was kind of mirrored on both sides because we got me making references to Led Zeppelin that no one else got, and then someone else making a Bowie reference that I didn't get, and just
everyone else did get.
Yeah, because I was
at least it wasn't Tin Machine.
Yes.
It's best way. In fairness, it's best way.
Yes. Suffice to say that many board games were played in the evenings around the Welsh Open, a 64-player tournament held at Firestorm Games in Cardiff. I just thought I'd try and drag it vaguely towards the topic.
Are we doing an episode about X-Wing at some point? Because I won't talk about it if we are.
Can you play X-Wing at the weekend?
I bought some,
and I stood around while other people bought it and played it for the first time. And,
I was impressed by their stock levels.
Wasn't great until I went, have you got more of these? And they went, can you get everything out and put it on the shelf? So they did.
But to be fair, their stock level, unlike most of the stores stocking X-Wing, was some.
It had no first wave, reportedly. That was what's disappointing.
No one had
that's it. Because nowhere in the world has first wave right now.
That's not true.
Okay, nowhere in the world that is charging sensible prices.
No, I know of a store that's got it on the shelf, apparently.
Is it a little store in the back end of nowhere?
It's in Exeter.
Yeah, so a little store in the back end of nowhere.
Exeter is fairly remote.
They haven't got any tie advance, because that's the one I want, but never mind. You know, moving on.
Okay, I've got a tie advance. Right. Here, one sec, Kurt. Yep, I have a tie advance. Do you want it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
You don't want it?
Do you know what I've not got?
I've had terrorist scum.
Do you know what I've not got? Both.
The first episode on Muse is going to be the worst episode ever, isn't it?
Yeah!
Do you know what I've not got?
Syphilis?
Did you buy the X-Wing Star as well, Alex?
No, I've not
then
got.
Then we don't care what you've got.
I wonder if anybody's got an Extreme Warp Wolf there.
It's yours. No, I've heard somebody did win one, but I can't remember who it was. I heard he wasn't very charitable. I had no idea that you would go after one.
Well, I'm not. I'm not actively after one, but you know, if someone were to have one and were to offer it, then I'd more than happily take it.
Good.
He's just burbling at this point, frankly.
Can we move on before I have to be that offensive?
Well, we are quite good at moving on.
Welsh
Open, held at Firestorm Games. So,
I believe I've already said that.
Three of us went down. Alex didn't go because he sucks, meaning we couldn't enter as a team because...
No, you're not allowed, legally not allowed to be in the same room as each other.
Only 75% of us can ever be in the same place at the same time.
We could have entered as a team, just one of us was a judge.
We could have, only Mike decided he wanted to judge, he preferred press ganger points to actually...
We could have entered as a team, only one of us was judging.
I was asked to help at the Welsh Open before I was a press ganger. I'll have this known. I was actually asked at the end of last year's Welsh Open.
Well,
So me and Kurt went down. Sorry, Kurt.
Sorry?
That seems a bit personal.
Waiting for Alex.
You want to reveal that in public?
We went down to the Welsh Open.
I didn't share a room with Nick this time.
No, you didn't share a room with me this time. Had a room to myself this time. It was quite nice. Now, Tim and Jimmy, on the other hand.
Moving on. let's not move into that area, please.
So I, being a boring sod, took my Signar. I played Nemo 1 tier 4 list. Yay!
Yes, you did have your amusing theme force.
My amusing theme force. Counterbalance Epic Haley and Epic Kane.
Your theme force was amusing for all the opponents that played it, because they sat there and went, I have no idea what you're trying to do. So I'm just going to try and get rid of you as quickly as possible.
That's not true.
It is.
It's not. The two times I played that Nemo theme force, the first one, as I said, I made a mistake and misread.
Would you like to enlighten the listeners as to how long that game lasted?
What, the one with Ostrom's feet?
That was the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first game. And then a Stormwall with 5 focus walked into a driller and didn't wreck a system.
You're trying to make this seem more heroic than it was by avoiding talking about the second game.
The second game I played against Jimmy G-Star. I moved Nemo 3 inches forward against Raven. Whoops.
And how long did the game take?
2.5 minutes.
Thank you.
I moved Nemo 3 inches off his deployment line.
Yeah.
So that he could get into the kill box next turn.
Yeah.
Playing against Raven.
Yeah. Okay, so she then shot you and you died.
So she walked forward, put snipe onto the Mage Hunter, Strike Force, and Pop Feet, and they killed me.
When?
It was hilarious.
It was mildly amusing. Well, the best part was, I ended my turn and looked over and then did the math in my head and went, Jimmy, what's the range on the mage shifters again? And he confirmed it, and I just sort of head straight into the desk. And then Jimmy clicked onto what I'd done.
So in theory, if you hadn't have said that, then he might not have actually gone for it.
He might not have. Yeah, he probably would have later on. It would have been a
Starship 101 from Nick Topham.
Just to point this out, right? I have here on screen, courtesy of tiebreak.co.uk, which
that was a really good site. That was really, really good.
Did all the live coverage. Well, it did the live coverage based on when the results were fed in. The round 3 draw went up at 2:37. There were then 10 minutes to deploy, and Nick's result sheet was handed in at 2:51. That's how quickly the game was over, folks. That was...
I'm quite jealous. None of mine went for that. Anywhere near that short. They were all really long drawn out affairs.
Strapped for lunch as well.
So. Yeah. Nick got a good amount of time to look around and see what other people were doing.
It did. Yeah, the rest of my games were alright. My Kane went 1-1. No, my Kane went 0-2. Ah, but Epic Haley went 2-0. So, damn Impaler. The Leicester Fat Cats have a tendency at big events. Kane will be on Death Ridiculous. They will need 16s plus to hit, and they will boxcar me.
That's War Machine, Nick.
It is, but it's the Leicester Fat Cats doing it to me every time.
And yet you volunteered to judge at Blood and Oil.
I did, yes.
Dear me. To be fair, your tournament record is still, I think, better than my one at the Welsh Open last year when I took Mercs and, oh boy.
Did you get a spoon?
No.
Oh.
Because that was the Jamie P year where spoons weren't given out for every faction, I don't think.
Oh, would you have been the Merc spoon?
I've already got the Kador spoon for the year before, so I...
Oh, you've already had one. You had the Kador spoon.
I actually wouldn't have been the Merc spoon because Mercs were making up, I think, about 5 of the last 6 positions. It was quite embarrassing.
No, Sid... Sid was the overall spoon last year, so he played Merc, so you wouldn't have been, definitely. Yeah. How did yours go, Kurt? That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to pass the bucket.
Not pass the buck, but pass the bucket. Presumably the sick bucket after some
sick,
of your games.
Well, yeah. In my household right now, very much a sick bucket. I had a really good time. I didn't do much better than Nick, unfortunately. My weekend started better than Nick. I won my first 2 games.
You didn't bottle 3 in a row?
No, I ended up doing 4 in a row. But I won my first 2 games, which I think at one point I was being shown at about 7th or 8th on the board. Something shocking, like, because... I won the first one on control points. Won my first game against Richard Dean on control points. So that immensely put me way up, you know, because that's the only way you measure it for round 1. Round 2, I assassinated. Did I have any control points either? I don't think. Can't remember. Did I score 2? I think I might have done. But anyway, so then after round 2, I was like way up the table going, oh, this is quite nice. Bloody hell. Yeah, I proceeded to lose every other game after that. So, yeah. Yeah, outstanding games.
See, the thing is, Kurt, you can actually check all these results online on the tiebreak website.
Outstanding.
Yeah. You just click on the round you want to see the results of, click on the matchup, and it tells you all the CPs and VPs. And...
Wow.
It is very good. Tiebreak is fantastic. I think it was designed by a UK gamer for...
Yes, it was designed by Steph Ashwell of the Leicester Fat Cats.
Who was my opponent in the final game. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He's done a cracking job on... what is essentially a Swiss tournament system, but announces every single result and does all the pairings for event organisers. And it's very good.
Is it a service you have to pay for?
No. Tiebreak, running a tournament through Tiebreak is free. I think he's eventually planning on bringing in some premium features. But the
girls, stuff. Dancing girls, I heard.
Fair enough. but at the moment, it's a free service for anyone who wants to run a tournament and has internet access, which is kind of a bit of a requirement of it.
But yeah, Welsh Open, good.
It was awesome. That's amazing games.
When you have a prize-giving ceremony that goes on for 45 minutes, you know you're doing something well.
And it involves some wonderful, wonderful models being given away.
the sunflower canker worm.
No. Let's get it right. Dog. Let's get it right, Nick. The first one was the Crix daffodil.
Oh, is it a daffodil? Fine.
Yes, because it was Welsh.
Oh, fine.
Then you had, was it an impaler throwing a leek?
Does anybody know where that is?
Jamie's got it, hasn't he?
No. Moving on.
He got
awarded an impaler throwing a leek.
Oh.
Yeah. Did he give it to you?
Yeah.
Ooh. Fair enough.
Very nice.
I bet you saw him all weekend, did you?
We had the sheepdog, which was a Cador war dog wrapped in cotton wool for some reason. It did quite a nice job being a sheepdog. And then finally an archangel painted bright red because, well, dragon. So it was a nice little touch by Martin, I thought. Some of the prints that were being given away as prizes were
awesome.
Fantastic.
What prints were they?
It was the
Purple Rain.
It was largely the Gargantuan's prints. But nicely framed and with little plaques on that said best in faction, and it was very nice prizes. Very nice.
Even the spoon was amazing this year.
Given that you could probably paddle a boat with the overall spoon, which sadly went to Toby Bryant, who was having a bit of a mare that weekend.
Midland Steamroller champion, Welsh spoon winner. Oh boy, Midlands are going to get stomped in the Steamroller finals.
I think just the standard shifts and the meta, it just shifts so much.
Well, the Welsh Open, I've repeatedly said, that is probably the toughest 64-player field in the UK.
Everybody that I played ended up above me. I did badly towards the end, but I ended up below everybody that I played. I played against... Nobody was second tier, you know? It was so many good players there. So many really good players there.
You do still get the full spread of abilities, but I don't think you could find a 64-player tournament anywhere that's as tough.
No, I mean, I don't advocate that everybody measures themselves on rankings, but everybody I played, I think, was top 25 rankings, top 30.
But then again, I think...
Yeah, it's a good job we're a non-competitive podcast, eh?
Definitely.
Well, I was very non-competitive because I stood behind a desk and then walked around and occasionally gave bizarre rulings, two of which I've now found were wrong, but, you know.
I got to get revenge for the podcast against Dragonstorm.
Oh, yes, you were... Well, we weren't a podcast when we first faced Martin and Sam.
No, that's true. But took out Sam. That was quite fun.
He was a bit upset.
You took out Sam. Where did he go?
He was a bit upset, as Kurt said, because he was playing Xerxes against Epic Haley, and I melee assassinated him.
Nice. With Haley, I hope.
Yeah, with Haley. Haley to the face.
That's just wrong.
On so many levels.
I don't care if it worked or if it's allegedly statistically possible. It's just wrong. On every level.
Yep.
By the way, there may be those of you in the outside world who are wondering at this point why we're not doing battle reports. And that's because we don't do battle reports, because the next person to do a full battle report on this podcast will be killed by me.
Ooh. So game one.
We get Kev on to do a battle report.
Yeah.
We had an experience when we went to Golden Troll. We have learned from it, and we have, as you know, one of the show mini mottos is, we have moved on.
Yeah, I think we should get Kev to do one though, because then people won't actually be able to hear it, so they don't have to listen to it. Mike gets to kill him.
Right.
We love you really, Kev.
Does anyone else have anything useful to say on the Welsh Open?
Did anyone have anything useful to say in the first place?
Probably not.
It's true.
In which case, Alex.
All I'm going to say is, I had a lovely time.
I had an expensive time that I enjoyed a great deal.
Yes, but you were topped up on Welsh whiskey the entire weekend.
I was. It was lovely.
Norbert would have been proud.
It's good. Norbert should have been there.
Norbert actually should have been at a tournament I went to.
Oh, go on. We'll let you move on to your tournament, Alex.
Yeah. I went to an event down in near Nottingham, West Bridgeford it was, called Bridgeford Bloodshed 1.
It's already being numbered by Andy from UK, is it?
It is being numbered by Andy from UK, yes. It was run by Andy Garrard, also known as Andy from UK. It's a good little event. There's 15 players, as opposed to be 16, but unfortunately the doctor himself couldn't turn up. He had other pressing engagements.
A likely story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was Martin Messar there?
Yes, he was. Yeah,
that's great.
As was a certain Mr. Paget, who made certain comments about my driving on the way home, but check Twitter for that. It was 15 players. I went 2-2 in the end. Had 4 good games. One thing I never realised is the Mountain King has power 19, range 9.5 melee attacks. Not to go down the vein of battle report, but top tip here. I played against Stuart McNichol. Stu from he's Stokeway. He's one of the
three
riders of the Stokepocalypse, I think they've called themselves, which is Rich Padgett, Austin Pickles, and Stu. But he was using Mountain King with P Doom Shaper. He had Rune Shapers as well, and I'd charge some Blood Trackers up to kind of try and tie up the Rune Shapers and the Mountain King as well, thinking he's kind of that'll hold him up, and then I'll have my two more beasts on the Mountain King next turn, and hopefully put some hurt onto the Mountain King and get rid of him. What I didn't realise he'd do was knock the Blood Trackers down with the Tremor and Trap spell from the Rune Shapers, and then use the Mountain King that boosted up with the Maulus Animus to get into strength 19 to throw knockdown Blood Trackers at my War Beasts. So there is a two Stealth Stalkers that he ignores the stealth because it's not a ranged attack, it's a melee attack.
Yeah.
He picks up the Blood Tracker that's knocked down without having to attack it. He's got Fortune cast on him, so he boosts the attack roll against the Stalker. He hits because he's got it boosted and he's rolling from Fortune. Does a power 19 to the Stalker for the collateral damage on two dice, which is his dice plus two, I'd say. And then he also, because he's killed the Blood Tracker, obviously that's taken a power 19 as well, he does a death call, whatever it is, the spray attack that's power 16 as well, which also ignores stealth because it's a spray, and that's one off the damage, and he boosts that one. So in two turns,
that's genius.
It is. It's a fantastic idea, and it's a fantastic interaction of the rune bearers with the Mountain King. But I mean, those rune bearers, are fucking the amount of tough checks they passed was unbelievable.
What's the damage roll come from? Where is the damage roll come? The base strength.
Yeah, strength, fatal damage because it's a throw.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is absolutely brilliant.
And it's a large base, and they're large base models, aren't they? Of course. Yeah.
Absolutely top marks. That's brilliant. Yeah. I love it.
I was like, but you can't do that to the Warp Wolf. They've got stealth. No, not range attack. Shit. No, it's not, is it?
You can also snack off the one he throws, I believe, just to be more amusing.
That's more difficult because when it dies, it's not within.
Snacking's not within.
No.
it's like the old whelp grenade where you used to snack on the whelp as you threw it.
I'm getting a headache now.
And we will work on whelps as well. 9.5-inch range, power 19 whelps.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds terrible.
I like it.
Obviously, you're limited to doing it once a turn, but you've got that. And if he's in range of the throw as well, he's in range. What you're throwing at is in range of the spray as well. So it's power 19 and power 16. If you've got that fortune up on it, then it's a worthy tactic.
I just realised why snacking works. Yes.
Yeah.
There's no range. Just when this model boxes a living model with a melee attack.
Yep.
Power attacks born out of melee.
So essentially, it's not an attack. I'm going to say snack on the target of the throw, but it's not a melee attack that kills that. It's the collateral damage, isn't it? So
yeah.
You can actually.
Yeah. This is all quite horrible on multiple levels.
Yeah, pretty much. But I had, I'd say, four fantastic games. I mean, that was the second game I played, and I did end up actually winning that game. I managed to grind out a tough win there. But the first game I played, at the end of the game, I think I had P. Kruger and a Gorax left, and he had Epic Asphyxius, Cankerworm, and two Bane Thralls left, and maybe a Satixis. So to give an indication of that game, like, we're both on 50 plus AP destroyed. It was pretty brutal. Well,
it sounds
good. Weekend, good games. Went 2-2 overall. So I didn't have the best of strength and schedule either. I think 9th out of 15, which was disappointing. It was a good weekend day.
So yet again, you finished below Padge in a tournament.
No, unfortunately.
So, okay. Well, I think with our little mini topic wrapped up, because to be honest, there's been no big news to really go on about this week. So, I think with that all wrapped up, we can safely say it is time for a break. And we'll see you on the other side.
On the other side.
Are you looking for affordable terrain for your tabletop and your bases? Then try Terrain Geek. They have a growing range of hobby supplies, including Army Painter and Coat d'Arms paints. All this and more is available at www.terraingeek.com. They are also contactable on Twitter at @terraingeek. Are you in the UK? Do you want to know when the latest War Machine and Hordes events are? Visit bit.ly/UK War Machine events for the most up-to-date calendar. Submit your own events to the calendar by emailing ukwarmachineandhordesevents@gmail.com. Right, well, welcome back after that break. Hopefully you enjoyed the music and lovely messages of whatever we put in there.
And a complimentary cup of tea.
Yeah. This is where we move on to one of our regular segments. Well, vaguely regular segments.
Just meant to be ready.
We're always meant to be ready, Kurt.
Oh, damn.
Are you ready now?
I was born ready.
Wait, we've done this backwards. It's time for spelling it out.
Oh, okay. I do be ready.
Which is where we move through the spell list and feat of a caster we choose pretty much at random. There is some method in there, but we're not quite sure what it is. This episode's choice was made based on the fact that Kurt seemed to be enjoying this caster at the Welsh Open, and Nick didn't want to do a Signar caster.
There was also whining.
Yes.
Well, totally out of character. He definitely wasn't doing...
He thought for some reason we'd moan about Signar.
Yes, like, you'll moan about Signar, and I'm not in the mood to defend it right now. I'm tired, I'm falling asleep as we talk.
Well, that's, you know, a sign for later on. When other people listen to this podcast, they'll be falling asleep as we talk as well. Yes.
Take a nap now.
Yes.
Well, now.
We're moving on to Intercessor Krios.
Right.
Intercessor or Krios.
More affectionately known as...
Threos.
Three.
Nick, are you drunk or tired? I'm not quite sure.
Tired.
Yeah, moving on.
Intercessor Krios, a caster that works for Menor.
Okay, do you want to take us through the spell list?
Alex, distract me. Yes. Intercessor Krios, yes, the third incarnation of Krios. He's lovely. He's on a horse. It's great. We'll start this up with spell list. The first spell is Crevasse. It costs 3, range 8, power 12, and I completely forgot I had it every game.
Not well, that it's a telltale sign of an incredible spell.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I forgot that. Oh. If Krevasse boxes original target, you can make a spray 6 attack using the box model as the attack's point of origin. That actually can be quite good. I've never done that. Well, it's of a power 12, damage, magic damage roll, model is boxed by Krevasse, I remove from play. So, yeah. Actually, that sounds a lot better than it did before, but I shouldn't have used it.
Pretty good to use against Goatvana or Gatsby 2.
Yeah, I didn't use it against Goatvana. Goatvana got set on fire. She liked it. Next spell. Death sentence.
Are we not going to discuss Krevasse?
Oh, sorry.
Are we just going to literally just race through everything else?
I thought I was going to about Krevasse. That was all.
Spelling it out is now just us reading the spell list.
It might as well have been for some casters. Alex, for some casters, the amount of useful information we've provided, it might as well have been just us reading the spell list, to be honest. Krevasse is interesting because it allows you to get through in one attack, sort of a front solid line, if you can box that one model, actually get through and start hitting things at odd angles behind it.
Or to the side.
Or to the side, yes.
You choose where the spray comes from. You just have to have that model as the point of origin, correct?
Yes, correct.
So you can just go anywhere you like with it. So you can do like what you did with my Stormblades, where you just sprayed straight down the line.
Well, if you are going to put six or seven of them in a line... When there's a Grey Lord only about 5 inches away, I'll just move it there and just kill everything. It's fine. It being cost 3's not great. I mean, he's focus 7, so you're potentially boosting to hit sometimes.
Maybe. I wouldn't know.
You're not a fan of this boosting thing?
No, I'm just pretty much forgot that spell existed.
Well, range 8, it is a little bit awkward because that's the point where you're like, well, I could just charge it with Krios and it will die.
Definitely die.
So,
what if Krios charges something and then wants to do this at something further on?
I think at that point he'd probably potentially be camping more.
Yeah.
It's like, things may hit me next turn. Let's be armor 20.
That is a mistake I made in one of my games. So. Oh, I'm hitting this. Everything's dying. Keep hitting and keep... Oh, I picked up one focus. Shit.
So what's the power of the spray when it sprays?
12.
Mm. What's the power of the attack in itself?
12.
8, 12.
8, 12, 10, 9, 16, 14.
It's range 8 and power 12.
I was going to say, one thing it could be potentially used for is kind of assassinations on things that can't be targeted, namely a certain creepcaster. But, you know, if you can't target it, that's all well and good, but if you're targeting something else with a spell and then spraying and targeting something else with the spray, you know, it's a way to get sprays.
You're going into what is potentially a very fiddly area, but if it's the only choice you've got...
Do you have to target the spray?
Yes.
You do have to target another model with the spray?
Yes, because that's how sprays work.
I know that's how sprays work, but I was just thinking...
A spray can only be placed by putting it centre to centre between two models.
Okay.
That's kind of the law of sprays.
Centre to centre is not quite right. Over the centre of the target, but the source doesn't have to be centred, does it?
It has to be centre of your base.
Centre of your base.
How does that work with Colossal Sim?
It doesn't necessarily have to be the centre of the front arc.
Right.
But it must be in a line.
Yeah.
So the line must go through the centre of the base.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I can see that.
Think of sort of directly towards. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun subject all of itself.
Yes. So I think, yeah, that's Crevasse. It's got some interesting applications, but Kurt doesn't use it.
No. Can we move on now?
Yeah, go on then.
Death sentence.
No.
I've got glue down now. Cost 2, range 8, upkeep and defensive. Highly offensive.
Yes.
When a friendly faction model misses target enemy model unit with an attack, it can re-roll with the attack roll. Each attack roll can re-roll once as a result of death sentence. It's quite nice. If you've got a unit that you might not hit, I said, again, something else I could use it for that we can think of. That high defense.
I'm feeling we should have done this before the Welsh Open.
we should.
So Kirk can sit there and go, oh yeah, I've won a hardcore tournament with this list. I've never used any of these spells.
I've used it. Well, no, I have used Death Sentence.
Okay.
But just the last game I had against Retribution, like, I didn't actually struggle that hard to hit, but it would have made it a lot easier. A lot more Hunter Assassins, whatever they're called, would have died. Not Assassins, Mage Hunters, Strike Force.
Yeah.
It would have died.
Death Sentence is a bit of a cut price fortune, I think.
Yeah. Or half of Calamity.
No, not really. Calamity's plus 2.
Yeah, I know. But re-roll.
Yeah, it's kind of in that same bracket of more making sure. Well, to be honest, if you've got Vengers with you and they're charging around, do you really need the re-roll?
I was going to get to that. I was going to be cheeky and go to...
Are they going to miss?
Divine Inspiration is a lovely part of this whole thing. No, they almost never miss anything. Although, annoyingly, they'll miss things on when you've lined up a really nice charge and you'll risk two models on the impact stacks because, you know, they're never going to miss. And they do miss.
Yeah.
You go, oh, that'd be the end of that charge then.
Death Sentence, if you can stick it, which is going to be 3 focus, then... It's going to help, especially on high def targets like Kyazi, Winterguard, what have you.
I have used it on a Colossal. Not this weekend, but previously I have. Just when you think, actually, I want all of these to hit, I want all this damage to go in.
I want to take away every single chance that I could double one it and miss one of these attacks.
I want all of them to hit, I want them all to damage, I want it to hurt. But as you rightly said, the Vengers hit so hard in this list. If you just take away any chance, 3 dice, take away the lowest to hit. Oh, and a reroll. Oh, wow.
So, Death Sentence, really good bit of utility.
Just a bit short range.
Yeah, again, range 8, it's a bit... Menoff can take Arknodes, but one's not really going to keep up with Krios all that well.
No.
So, any other thoughts?
Got a good name. Death it.
Clearly Nick and Alex is like, we don't care.
Yeah,
if you get lots of rerolls, does it become a death paragraph?
I really wish I hadn't asked now. Kurt?
Nobody to blame but yourself.
Move on.
Force Hammer. Cost 4. Range 10. Power 12. And it's not unkeepable. Instead of suffering a normal damage roll, a non-incorporeal model Force Hammer hits is slammed d6 inches directly away from the spell's port of origin, regardless of the base size, and suffers a power 12 damage roll. Class for damage from the slam is power 12.
I remember when this used to be an exclusive spell. Now it's been given out like candy.
It's a nice spell. Cost 4 is a little bit.
By the time you've done boosting, that's 6.
Strictly speaking, where at first, because I think it changed Mark 1 to Mark 2, didn't it? The spell, was it identical?
I don't know. The first instance I know of it appearing was Rahn, but
yeah, me too.
It was on Siege. Siege and Rahn.
But Rahn was out first. That's what I was arguing. Not the Signal player was going to go. Where's Zars? Who stole it? I think. Well, Rahn had it first.
Was Rahn before Siege?
Retribution book came out before all of the Mark 2 stuff.
I thought Sloane was the new caster for Mark 2.
Sloane was the new caster for Mark 2.
No, but everybody had the books rewritten for 2, is what I mean.
Yeah.
I think he had Force Hammer in Mark 1.
Mm, but the spell was slightly different, I think. That's what I was arguing.
I don't remember.
I'm not going to go and get my Mark 1 books.
I can't remember. Mine are in a box upstairs. I think it was quite the same. That's why I was being pedantic. I admit.
It's a nice spell. You can get some slams from some very unusual angles and through very tight gaps.
Ironically, Krios did die to this spell.
Rahn, by any chance?
Yeah, Rahn. Yeah.
It's always fun playing Jack the Ball.
Take your own Jack that's nearly dead, TK it away, turn it around, then smack it in the back, slam it over the caster, kills the Jack, caster takes a good hit, gets knocked down. Then the witch shoots him and takes off his 6 focus, and you go, oh, I thought I was nicely defended on Def 16 Armour 24, going, la 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 la, and you're like going, oh, bollocks.
You sound very happy about that, Kurt.
Yeah. It's a dangling spell.
Yeah. Admittedly, if you can use it with Krios, it's going to wipe out pretty much all of his focus to do it.
Mm.
But there are times where that's still a really good option.
He does like to camp good half his focus. And if you do that, he's so hard to take out.
Yeah. Well, quick casters with Def 14, Arm 17 base.
18 wounds as well.
Actually, that's very much in Butcher territory.
He's pretty survivable. I've survived assassination runs from E-Sorcerer in the past, from Arcadon failed as well.
Well, that's always a good sign.
He's getting far too much like a battle report in my life.
Yes, true. Should we move on to the next spell?
Holy Maybe. Ward. Holy Ward.
Holy Ward, Batman. Okay.
Well done. Well done. Well done. This is the kind of not quite signs. This is not quite what's the word after?
Defender's Ward.
Defender's Ward, but target friendly faction model unit gains +2 defense and cannot be targeted by enemy spells or animi. So,
in some games, that's not going to be that great, but in other games, that's going to be totally awesome.
Yeah, well, +2 death's nice, but you want to put it somewhere, as I was informed, put it somewhere
what's the cost
where...
on it? 2. So it's like Banishing Ward Plus for the same cost.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty much. Damn.
Oh, no, because it doesn't expire whatever's on them at the moment.
But it's a bit Scornergy. It's a bit Scornergy in the sense that the units you tend to want to put it on already are immune to magic, one in particular.
Put it on a different unit.
I know. I didn't. I
paid. Would that be a unit of Ninth Exemplar, by any chance?
And Errants. Errants are immune to magic.
Domination of the...
Yeah.
I mean, if you come up against something like Crixie or something, and you just want to stop your entire force being debuffed, that could be quite cool. Stick it on the horses.
Aha, you can't Crippling Grasp them anymore.
Mm. Yep.
And that takes them to what, Death? 14,
15? 14 calf, yeah.
It's not bad.
It's lovely.
It's not great, but it just takes them into that range where most units are at 8s to hit.
Mm.
And it starts to become more of a prospect of, ooh, do I bother? Is this something easier to kill? So.
It's nice.
It's a nice spell, but it's...
It's a change. It's a shift away from just having Defender's Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think next will be one of his more... annoying ones for the players.
Well, the next spell.
Yeah.
The next spell, you always have up kept somewhere. Always. Even if it's way up on him, but somewhere else. Ignite. It's around. It's everywhere in Menoth. Target friendly faction unit gains +2 to melee deck damage rolls. Effective models gain critical fire on their normal melee attacks. Woohoo!
Horrendous.
On Vengers. It's fantastic. Vengers with Ignite and have been damaged and are battle driven. Power strength 18 charging with extra dice to clear lowest on the charge. It's just like Mulg died to 3 of them. Phoenix went down to 4 wounds, I think, from 2 of them charging it.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, it's just a straight up good spell. There's no way around it. Yeah.
It's.
Again, a little short range, so if you're going to have to hot swap it, you really have to consider where it's. What your order of activations is.
The only defense of that is because you're hot swapping it between friendly units and you've got a speed 8 caster.
True, true. And ride by attacks if you need them.
And ride by attacks. Yes, you can yo-yo, cast it, put back again.
Yeah.
Yep. It's, yeah.
The critical fire just to add a little bit of an insult.
Yeah, I know, it's lovely.
Terrible. Then finally.
Warpath. Cost 2, self, good for the control area, and ends upkeep. When a friendly faction model in this model's control area destroys one or more enemy models with a non-melee attack, all ranged attack during its activation. Immediately after the attack is resolved, one Warjack in this morph's battle group that's in its control area will advance for 3 inches. A Warjack can only advance once per turn, so it was a warp off. That's something I should definitely use more.
Well, I think purely the aim of that is to allow his jacks to keep up with him.
Also, it allows Fire Salvation to reposition to get all use out of our suspended.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I find I've protected my jacks, I've boxed them in a bit.
So plus, with Errants, you're just firing out the crossbow and going, okay, I've killed a random model, I'm just going to move my warjack now.
True, although I tend to not shoot crossbows very much. Yeah.
True. But the option's there.
There is.
So, and just to get that little 3-inch move, one way or another, or just straight forwards keeping up with him, it's enough to keep the pressure on. And to be honest, Krios is a caster who really can keep the pressure on with that kind of threat range.
Yep. So, even himself. I mean, he's just, nasty all on his own.
Do you want to go through his feet?
And one other thing as well. Okay. Which I kind of already have. Invocations of the True Law. One of those feats that you're never going to remember unless you're reading it. enemy upkeep spells and animi in Krios' control area immediately expire. Then Krios can immediately cast each upkeep spell on his card without spending focus points.
Wait a minute, isn't that like somebody else's feat?
A bit like Veil, yeah. Via Veil 2, something like that.
Except it's just his upkeeps.
Yeah.
Of which he has 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets Death Sentence, Holy Ward, Ignite.
And it's also and purification.
Yes.
Yeah.
A purification like which has. Only works on enemy spells and animi.
Yep, great.
So it's interesting for that critical turn.
Mm.
And your stuff's finally been sort of bogged down a little and you just go, okay, I'll just clear everything up and now we're going in again.
I've moved up before and popped Death Sentence as part of it on something else as well at some time, and moved Ignite from one unit to another. Offered on putting Holy Ward on him at that point.
Yeah, making him Death 16 doesn't seem pleasant, especially when it's a free spell to cast.
Mm.
So I don't think it's the most sort of overbalancing feat in the world. It's just a nice utility piece to go along with his list of utility piece spells.
Yeah. Well, you said he's a utility caster that's conversely quite survivable and horrendous in melee.
Yes.
Which is, those two things that usually go with utility caster, in my experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the other thing he has, which I think is also useful to throw in because it's almost as, might as well, should be a spell, one could argue, is Divine Inspiration. This model gains an additional die on the melee attack and melee damage rolls. Discard the lowest die of each roll. So he has that. That's nice. And then there's an elite cadre.
Hey!
For Exemplar Avengers, they all gain Divine Inspiration.
Inspiration?
That too. Inspiration.
Not just ones in his command area or his control area. No, just on the table.
Somebody tried to pull me up on that. I'm like, no, just wherever.
Awful. Horrible.
They've just become lethal. And his tier, his tier granting you a second unit is just not good for the back balance, but whoa.
I did see you with your force of Thrios and all the horses in the universe.
Yep.
Except Gravis.
Oh, don't like. But yeah.
That seems to be a running theme amongst Menoth players. You mentioned Gravis and they go, ugh.
Well, I think if there was no basis for comparison, I mean, I play Trolls. So at the same time, we got Horthol. And you go, Horthol? Wow. And you go, Gravis. And you go, it's an old man on a horse. What? Horthol? Wow. What? Even Morag? What?
See, I'm just looking in Kerol in that I get both the Draken and Fenris.
Mm. Yeah, and Menoth get an old man.
Actually, and Markov as well.
An old man who's falling off the front of his horse in the model.
That's your main problem with it, isn't it?
And the dismount looks awful as well. So, yeah, not the worst big fan of Gravis.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that's spelling it out. We've gone through, hopefully given you some vaguely useful hints and tips. With that, I think it's time to move on to the final segment of the show.
The painting table.
Sharp, smooth, like it.
I was waiting to see if anyone else would jump in with an objection, because normally there are some somewhere. Someone goes, oh, actually, no, I've got one thing to talk about before we move on to the painting table. But apparently not this week. It's the painting table, sponsored by Terrain Geek. Buy all your lovely scenic bases from them. No? No one else?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Terrain Geek sell many lovely products, which you can find at their website, which is terraingeek.com.
Fine sales pitch if there was one.
Yes. Well, there's also an advert, so I think Stu's getting value for money there.
Good.
Yes. So, Kurt,
mm.
What's on your painting table?
Well, I've been modelling, not painting, or assembling, I should say, rather than painting this episode. And I've got, in my hot little hands, I have got Hunter's Grim.
Ooh.
Grim Angers 2. I've been playing Menoth, lots of Menoth, lovely Menoth. And then there were so many blisters of Hunter's Grim in Firestorm Games that I actually couldn't leave without taking one.
Was this after you came to the desk and said, please stop me from buying the Hunter's Grim? And I went, no.
It was.
Yeah. So, are you looking forward to fielding those soon, or...?
I'm probably going to go down to St. Austell for a little tournament.
Today?
That too. I'm sure of a big surprise. I'm assured, at least. So, I'm tempted to buck the trend, because I'm looking at his theme list, and I'm like, oh, I've got all that. So, bushwhacking scouts...
Oh, ambushing scouts, you mean?
Ambushing scouts, sorry, yeah. Ambushing scouts. I've 2 years of scouts.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I've never had ambush anything, ever. I'm going to forget they're there.
And the scouts are a lot better than people think they are as well.
I don't know, I'm going to look at this, and I think it's 35 points. That tier will come out 35 points easily, so, yeah, I've no idea how it'll play, so I'm tempted to get some practice, and then I don't know what else I'll run, but I might take Trolls a bit of old school variation with the new caster.
Bit of a new lease of life.
Maybe. Then might go back to Krios. Menoth. I'm looking at Krios. So.
Krios is just your whole faction there. If you go to three list tournament, it will be P Krios, E Krios, and Threos.
Maybe.
Actually, you don't play the pop and drop much, do you?
No, it's a bit kind of it's a bit dull.
It's a bit dull.
I like Krios 2. Some people say Krios 2 is dull, but I like Krios 2.
Krios makes me sad. I see him across the table and I just go, that's it. I'll just pack up my stuff now. There's no point in playing this game. I have never beaten Ikrios.
He's great.
I just have a mental block against him. Can't do it.
He's Captain Shiny.
So, okay, well, that the entire painting table for this episode?
I've been painting a lot of Menoth to try and get things table worthy, but they're all packed away at the moment. But my painting's waned. I'm hoping that having Hunter's Grim will reinvigorate my painting enthusiasm.
Oh, there we go. Mm. Nick?
No.
No.
Nick, what are you painting this week?
No.
Well,
I haven't done any painting, haven't done any model gluing, I haven't done anything like that, so no, I have nothing at the moment. I do plan on working on that Lost Hemisphere challenge list, the Nemo Tier 1 list, so that'll be painted up. But yeah, no, that's the only plan at the moment.
At the risk of sounding too much like Jar Jar Binks, can I... rally for a vote of no confidence.
just because we are a nice, fluffy, kind podcast.
No, I'm just, I think like Jar Jar Binks thing. I'm like, do you really want to be Jar Jar Binks? Man who ended the universe? Oh, man, loosely, obviously.
I think he's wrong, Alex.
Moving on.
Suddenly I'm starting with Alex.
yeah.
Well, Alex wanted to be Jar Jar, so Alex has to talk like that from now on.
No.
I'm no.
Just, the impression just pushed it over the edge to the point where I'm just not on your side anymore at all. I would disassociate myself now.
Before there are any more slightly racist impersonations, Alex.
Hello. Yes?
What's on your painting table?
Not a lot at the minute, I'll be honest.
You seem to be having a bit of a dry week for painting tables.
Yeah, I mean, I was feverishly putting models together before this tournament the weekend. I ran Imovana, and in that were some Tharn Ravagers.
How did it go?
I hadn't known up until the Wednesday before the event.
Oh, so you didn't wait for the plastics at the end, you just went, no, just the metals.
Yeah, Goat Varna pushed me to the edge.
How did the Queen Goats go?
Ah, she was alright, we just went 2-1, so 2 wins, 1 loss, and yeah, she was alright. She's good. I went Tier 4 though, full on Theme Force, which was interesting. I'm not 100% sure of the worth of the Theme Force, but I gave it a go. I might give it a bit more practice as well.
Yes, Imovana is all the rage at the moment, I think.
I played against him the weekend.
It was actually very interesting to see that Imovana, well, Circle as a whole, even with the Imovana love, didn't actually even hit the top 10 at the Welsh Open. I think the first Circle player was something like 17th.
Yeah, that's top Circle.
So
I was quite chuffed at bottom Menoth, and I'm 42 out of 64. And that's bottom Menoth.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the spoon, and I was 42. I was like... Okay.
I did like the fact that the same player actually got the Minions Best in Faction and Wooden Spoon.
Yeah, Matt Hart, I might play Minions next year.
Will you expand to Gaiters along with
no,
your
picks? I do have some Gaiters.
Oh, you have some Gaiters? Mm-hmm. Of course, you play Hordes. Why would you not have Gaiters?
Well, I had Gaiter Men, that's all I meant, but I do have Barnabas and... I'm looking at... Actually, Barnabas on the desk. A few bits.
Okay. My painting table at the moment is the Greylord Outriders that are currently under construction. So it's thankfully donated by Nick at the weekend because he won them in a raffle at Firestorm. Like,
somebody won something in a raffle and gave it away.
Yeah.
That, okay, for Alex.
Yeah. So I've been doing those.
Yeah, there's some kind soul who could be willing to give something else away, you know, just something big or extreme, well, you know, just.
I have them, and I'm putting temporary horses on them for the moment, because I want to get some table time with them.
Oh.
Yeah. The horses
are they as bad in the flesh?
Not quite.
Not quite.
I still really don't like them, but you could get away with them, I think. With the right paint scheme and maybe a little bit of alteration of the mane, I think you could probably get away with the horses. I think it's partially the mane more than anything else. It just makes them look weirdly like a crocodile head. And but they're being... Well, they're half glued up at the moment, and I've got Vlad 3 to glue up tomorrow, so... Make myself a cav force.
That's it.
Yep.
How many units of your lands have you got?
Just the one at the moment. I am hoping to expand.
Yeah, that's the noise the storm donkeys make.
Yeah. See, I've always liked the cav, but now I've got Vlad 3. It seems like an ideal opportunity to buy that second Draken, second unit of Ulan's, third gun carriage.
See, there's an interesting thing I could do for my second list, 35 points. How much of how useful or how much of Grizzel 2's tier can I get into 35 points?
I believe I played a 35 point Grizzel 2 list against Mike in Ross on Y quite a while back.
Yes.
Well, gun carriage and Tuffalos and...
Yeah, didn't have the Tuffalos in it, I don't think.
Oh,
you did.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah, you get cheap, so, you know, why not?
You only have three, though.
Yeah, I think it might have been a min unit, yeah.
Yes, and that game made me sad. Had it played out for another turn, it would have been over and done with. But unfortunately, because of where it ended and where the tiebreakers were, and where your war wagon was sitting, curse you.
And all who sail on you.
Yes, quite.
Oh, and it sounds a brag. Mm.
Well, I think with that all being said, it's time to hand the show over to Alex so he can sign us off.
Well, you've been listening to Elite Cadre, the Haunted War Machine podcast that's sold out. I've been Alex.
I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
And I've been Nick.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Kurt, Mike, and Nick.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Kurt, Mike, and Nick.
Listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. Email us at elitecadrepodcast@gmail.com. Find the whole team on Twitter at bit.ly/elitecadre. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/elitecadre. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. This podcast is part of the Muse on Minis network. Find out more at museonminis.com. And now, in a world of perfect production and seamless transitions, we bring you the chaos that lurks beneath the surface. These are the Easter eggs.
For anybody who's not read the emails, no eating on the podcast, boys.
What?
Ollie K, I imagine is his name.
Yeah. Hello, Elite Cadre. I've just started listening to War Machine podcasts, and I've really enjoyed listening to yours. But I have a request. please, for the love of God, don't eat on the podcast. It makes it impossible to listen to and sounds really nasty. I really like your stuff, though. Out of interest, if you take Kador to a tournament, what lists do you take? That's probably a bad question to ask this podcast.
Yep.
Seeing as we have one lapsed Kador player, and one who, let's face it, if anyone else took my lists to a tournament, they would do even worse than I do. So, yeah. I'm not saying my peace or your list is unfriendly. I'm just saying it takes a certain amount of experience to actually get it to do even what it does for me. So we're ready to go, yeah?
Well, I'm eating, so no.
Oh, God.
No, I'm ready. I'm just being silly.
Okay.
Before we start...
Yep.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay. 31 for this week.
No, that was preamble.
Ah, yes.
Space Fleet. Space Fleet. Was it Darth Fleet? Was it Space Fleet?
Star Balls.
Which show are you thinking of, Kurt?
Puppets. Don't think it was Jerry Anderson.
Yeah, it was Starfleet. It was it's a Go Nagai puppet show.
Yeah.
Which they had like multiple fighters that joined up and became a giant man in suit robot. Yeah, I have the entire thing on DVD.
Oh my word, really?
Yeah.
Trust you.
I have a VHS copy that is the entire series condensed into 2 hours. It is one of the most mind-bogglingly weird programs. Because at one point, there is, like, a space ghost ship that turns out to have on board it the father of one of the main characters, who is not, in fact, the granddaughter of the captain, but is, in fact, an alien princess, who then starts spinning through space and firing at a giant emperor with her laser wand. It's just so weird. But
Good fun.
I bought it at the same time as I bought the entire of Captain Scarlet on DVD. Come on, Captain Scarlet's brilliant.
Oh, it's way better than Stingray.
Stingray.